Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Another win in the books for the good guys in front of another big crowd from you guys. Hey, I want to hear from you. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. Royals win 6-1, the final score. Again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. We'll get right to your phone calls, but first, I want to head right inside that Royals clubhouse and talk with the guy that turned out to come through with the game-winning RBI triple in the first inning, putting the Royals up 2-0. They would go on to win 6-1. Michael Massey, kind enough to join us here on the Victorious Postgame Show. Mass, thank you very much for taking the time out. Your first triple of the year. When were you thinking three?
Right out of the box. I was joking with the guys. I knew I had a goose egg up there. So everybody deserves one a year. So I figured I'd give Sal a run for his money while he's on first and try to make him score on that. So, the rumor was I would have been thrown out by 15 feet, but good thing he didn't throw it.
No, you laced that bad boy. That was a triple all the way. We all saw you on third base, and we saw you playing second base. First time in 2 months. You've been at second base back-to-back days. I know the game just ended. How did it feel out there? How's it been going here in the second half?
Yeah, it feels good. Obviously we're continuing to progress with the medical staff and strength staff and really everybody kind of has their hand in it. So just continuing to progress and continue to make strides forward and hopefully get back to being able to play whenever the team needs me out there.
Michael Massey joins us after a 1-for-4 performance as he continues to dominate his hometown Chicago White Sox. Brady Singer, quite a dominating performance as well. 7 shutout innings. What stood out to you about the Royals righty?
Yeah, anytime Singh takes the ball, really it's kind of been the theme of this entire year. Anytime any starter for us takes the ball, we got a really good chance to win. So. Singh just did a great job of getting ahead of guys, using that slider, working down in the zone, continuing to let the defense work, and gave us 7 strong innings and turning over the bullpen, who's just as good. So, really, really good stuff, I'd say.
Yeah, speaking of the defense, an outstanding sliding stab by yourself there to open up the 6th inning. Just, again, pitching, defense, team speed, it's all on display as the Royals get back to 9 games above .500. Mass, final thing for you. It's a two-part question concerning Hunter Harvey, the new addition to that bullpen. First, what did you think of that stuff? And secondly, what was it like to get that type of a message from the front office, from ownership, that here's some reinforcements for the playoff push. Here's a big arm to get you guys into October.
Yeah, the first fastball he threw at 97, I kind of, you know, Bob and I kind of looked at each other and then looked up at the board. It's just, it had a different zip out of his hand. So, you know, he's got great stuff, and he's going to help us a lot down the stretch. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, anytime, you know, we're in the position we're in, and, you know, you get some additions going into the late in the season here, and just got to continue to go day by day, though, you know, continue to win each day. And, you know, we do that enough times. We go out and play with the same energy that we've had the last few days. You know, I think we're going to put ourselves in a good spot at the end of the year. So that's kind of the theme right now in the clubhouse, just keeping it day by day and going out there playing hard with good energy and trying to do little things right. And, you know, hopefully Junior keeps getting 14 hits a game and we'll be all right.
Michael, almost 28,000 people are driving home right now. I got to allow you a message to the fans that have turned out in droves over the past two nights. Before we let you go, what would you say to this fan base?
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, obviously we really appreciate everybody coming out and supporting us. And, you know, I think we were notified of our record at home and our record on the road. And, you know, to me, there's really only one answer for that, and it's just the environment that the fans create at the K. And it's exciting to just be around the stadium. It's exciting for us to play. So, you know, we appreciate you guys coming out, and hopefully we can keep putting on a good show for you.
Oh, no doubt. Mass, appreciate the phone call. Enjoy your night. We'll see you back out there tomorrow.
Appreciate it, Vern.
There you go. Michael Massey, kind enough to join us from inside that Royals clubhouse. Massey tonight with the RBI triple in the first inning. He's hitting .318 this season when he serves as the number five hitter. 21 RBI and 29 starts. His OPS as the number five hitter, OPS of .937. I didn't want to bring this up to him because it's a celebratory post-game show, right? We're having a good time in the clubhouse, and hopefully we're going to have a good time on this post-game show. But Massey struck out looking in the eighth inning with the bases juiced. He got ripped off. That was a curveball low and away. It was off the plate. It was down. Now, the only reason I bring that up is because Mass had quite the streak going. His first strikeout since July 2nd. It snapped a run of 37 straight plate appearances without a punch out. That was the longest active streak in Major League Baseball, and he was stolen. It was stolen from him there in the eighth inning. I'm sure he's fine with it. I'm sure you're fine with it. Let's hear from you. Royals win 6-1. It's now a final in between the Padres and the Guardians. Guardians lose, so the Royals are now only six games back in the American League Central. 913-586-7610. Gary was at Kauffman Stadium, and Gary's going to hit leadoff on this Saturday night. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Vern?
I'm great. How are you?
This is Gary. I'm from Raytown. Hey, it looked like batting practice the bottom of the first inning, the way they were hitting the balls all over the field.
Yes, it did. Yeah, it certainly did it. And Gary, you've seen it before. We've been on the other side of a game like this and a season like the White Sox are going through. So I'll tell you this, I don't feel bad whatsoever for that Chicago ball club.
I hope the general manager realizes they're playing the White Sox and still goes out and gets a hitter.
Okay. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Where are you looking for the improvement, Gary? Like, do you have an idea of what kind of hitter you're looking for?
Well, probably an outfielder. Like, they need an outfielder, I would say. The infield's pretty good shape.
Sure. So, like, you're talking about benching, what, MJ or Isbell or Renfro, one of those three?
Well, you know, we went and got Willingham back in 2014, and that worked out well. Somebody like that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Josh Willingham, he was a bench player. So I'm with you. Yeah, if they want to improve the bench, go for it. No doubt. Thanks for the phone call. Sorry, I didn't know you had anything more, Gary. I apologize for that. Listen, yeah, I'll reiterate my point earlier today on the On Deck show. I'm fine improving the bullpen and improving the bench, but I'll be surprised if they acquire someone that makes the waves that Hunter Harvey did. I just don't see the need to bring in anyone with more notoriety than Hunter Harvey. Because the Royals are in it, right? We all agree the Royals are in this thing. They're a half game back of the final wild card spot. They're six games back of Cleveland, and they play the Guardians seven more times. So we all agree that they're in it. So what are we trying to get to? What's the next tier? If you're in the race, a tier above that would be you're running away with the playoff spot, right? You're guaranteed a playoff spot. You have one in your back pocket, a lot like the 2015 Royals. All right, 2015, at this time of the season, we knew they were going to the playoffs. It was just, are they going to get the one seed? So, okay, you want the Royals to jump tiers, to go from a team that's in the race to a team that's in the playoffs. Boy, okay. To get to that tier, you need, in my opinion, an impact bat. A guy that could hit fifth. Honestly, a guy that could hit third, fourth, or fifth. Maybe you bump Bobby up to the leadoff spot. Maybe that guy hits second in front of Vinny and Salvi and Massey. You need that type of an impact bat. You probably also need a bona fide closer. Now, there aren't many impact bats. There aren't many bona fide closers. But the ones that are available, everyone wants them. Right? The Dodgers want them. The Phillies want them. The Orioles want them. The Yankees want them. You're going to have to get into a bidding war. Are you willing to get into a bidding war to take that type of a jump? To get to that tier of, all right, we got a playoff spot in our back pocket. Now let's just get ready for October. Because the Royals have enough in the farm system to acquire that player. The farm system will be quite depleted. Meaning, you might not be able to make a similar move next year if you make that type of tier-jumping move this summer. Personally, year one of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract, coming off a 106-loss season, we're already seeing the city come back to the K. We're seeing the fans migrate back to Kauffman. Personally, I don't see the need to get into a bidding war. I don't feel desperation from the organization. I don't feel desperation from the players. I don't feel desperation from you, the fans. So why would we expect desperation from ownership, from the front office? To me, desperation in Kansas City won't show up until 2026 at the earliest. Make savvy moves this year, this offseason, next year, next trade deadline. Make moves to improve your roster, sure. But as far as parting with the type of prize prospects that it would take to acquire an impact bat or a bona fide closer, I just don't see the need. If you do, explain it to me. I look at this team as currently constructed, and I see a playoff team without an impact bat, without that bona fide closer. I see a team that has set a standard of your starting pitcher is going to give you a chance to win almost every single night. Royals rotation has 50 quality starts in 99 games this year. The standard is that your starting pitcher is going to give you a chance. If you lose, it's not going to be because of stupid baseball. You're not going to be booting the ball. You're not going to be running into outs on the base paths. The standard that has been set by this 2024 Royals team is that your starter will give you a chance to win. Your defense, your base running is not going to be the reason why you lose. And the best player on the diamond every single night is wearing a Royals uniform with the number 7 on his back. That's the standard, and so long as that standard remains, I can't tell you 5 better teams in the American League. And if I can't tell you 5 better teams in the AL, why wouldn't I believe that this team as currently constructed is good enough to get to October? And if they're good enough to get a ticket to the dance, Man, that's all I'm asking for. I don't need a guaranteed ticket to the dance with 63 games to play. Not in year one. Year one of the Sherman, Piccolo, Quatrero, full season, full go playoff attack. You let me know if I'm wrong. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Dylan in KCK. Dylan, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? I know that we want to talk about baseball, but I want to talk about you real quick. And I've thought this for years. I am so thankful that you get to do our postgame show. I think you're incredibly knowledgeable. And I love to hear the excitement in your voice again. You know, like going through last year, we could tell that it hurt for everybody. And it's great to hear you jazzed up and jacked up, right?
Well, so, that's awesome to hear. I'll tell you this, Dylan. Watching the White Sox, man, is giving me flashbacks to that Royals team for the past few seasons. It's tough to watch bad baseball. It's been, it hasn't been long, but it feels like a long time since I've watched bad baseball like Chicago.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. But love to hear you. Glad you're here.
Thanks, man.
In Kansas City still. And then let's just tag it with baseball. Bobby Witt. Whew. We want to talk about star power. God. For him to come into these two games after being introduced to the much broader national stage is awesome for him to just come in, cool, calm, collected, play his game, and just drop it on the table. You know, like absolutely balling out. So big ups, and that's proof positive that our front office needs, that there's something to build around here. And I agree with you. The team as constructed could be a playoff team. I expect us to be this year, hopefully. And, yeah, I don't think that there's a need to go do anything crazy because you were just alluding to. So, go Royals.
Love it. Thanks, man. Appreciate the kind words. Not only, man, you look at this team and who isn't under contract next season. Now, Michael Wacha will have a decision to make. Hunter Renfro and Chris Stratton have player options. Okay. Honestly, Wacha should come back. I don't know if he will. You probably dip your toe into free agency. Why not? But okay, that's fine. Well, Chris Bubich will be back, hopefully fighting for a playoff, for a rotation spot next year. Look, if Reagans and Lugo were at the end of their time in Kansas City after this season, you know, if Bobby was a free agent to be after next year, okay, maybe I would feel a little bit more desperate. Maybe the need to convince Bobby or Lugo or Reagans that this is a place where you can win consistently, maybe the need would be more apparent. But these guys are having the times of their life right now. And they're all coming back next year. I mean, for the most part, I guess trades could happen, but for the most part, you look at this 26-man roster, a majority of them under contract next year. So, no, I don't see the need exactly what you're talking about, Dylan. Things are going too well right now. And in year one, coming off 106 losses, man, let's just continue to ride this wave. Let's believe in Michael Massey. Again, thanks to Mass for calling up earlier. And, you know, he even joked about your boy Bobby Witt Jr. So long as Bobby continues to hit 14 knocks a night, yeah, we're going to be a pretty good team. Now, that wasn't, well, it was hyperbole. He's not picking up 14 hits a night. That back-to-back three-hit nights, though. Bobby's done that. And how about this? Bobby Witt Jr. has recorded a hit in 29 of his last 30 games here at Kauffman Stadium. He's hitting .444 in that stretch. 29 games, he has a hit in the last 30 games at the K. Now, over those 30 games, Bobby has 52 hits. 52 hits are the most in any 30-home game span by a Royal within the same season since Johnny Damon almost a quarter of a century ago. And Bobby's 52 hits, man, they're the most by an American League player in a 30-home game span within the same season since Bobby's boyhood idol Dustin Pedroia back in 2016. I know there's a lot of qualifiers in that. But this stretch that we've seen Bobby here at Kauffman Stadium, yeah, that's MVP stuff. That's best player on the planet stuff. And remember, he's still the youngest guy inside that clubhouse. maybe the best player on the planet, is the youngest player on his team. Royals win 6-1. My game notes following this 5-run victory. Game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. Royals win 6-1. If you're on hold, stay right there. We got to give Blake a quick timeout. We'll get back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
1-0 pitch. Massey hits a drive into deep right center field. Pham on the run, and it's going to be off the fence. Around third comes Perez. Throws not going to go to third base, and Massey slides in safely at third with an RBI and a triple, and the Royals lead 2-0.
That's all they would need. Denny Matthews on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. 2-0 after that Massey RBI triple. Hunter Renfroe would follow with an RBI double. 3-0 Royals after the first. They would never look back. They would win 6-1. They take the series from the White Sox. Royals are now 8-1 this year against Chicago. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Your Kansas City Royals are on pace to win 88 games. That'd be a new record for most wins by a team following a 100-loss season. The current record is held by the 1989 Baltimore Orioles and the 1967 Chicago Cubs. They won 87 games following a 100-loss season. All right, let's go to the phone calls. Let's go to Dave in Topeka. Dave, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how you doing? Glad to hear from you. First of all, my kudos to Dylan for recognizing your excitement and fervor and backing the Royals. I agree 100% with him.
Thanks, man.
Secondly, I'm in agreement with you as well. I think this is a team that can make not only a playoff spot, I still think they can take the dang division. Okay, yeah, we're six games behind Cleveland. 60-some-odd games left. The better teams have collapsed down the stretch and in the past. So I ain't giving up on them. The players still believe. The clubhouse still believes in itself. You believe in them. So all I can say, and I'll shut up for now, all I can say is roar. Rock on, always Royals.
Love it. Love it. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the phone call. No, I'm with you. Yeah, no, my focus is not on the wild card. I mention it because we care. But no, I'm still focused on the division. Yeah, six games back of Cleveland with seven meetings against the Guardians. Red Sox on top of the Dodgers right now, 6-4 in the bottom of the 10th inning. Royals a half game back of Boston for that final wild card spot. Let's go to Derek in KCK. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 6-1. Derek, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, we just came from the game, and I loved it. It was a good game, and I really cannot wait to see what we can do in October and see those fans.
I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, if you were here tonight, you saw. Well, you know what I can tell you? Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, a big crowd tonight, almost 28,000, bigger than last night. But last night, I saw something that, you know, maybe this only stands out to me. I know Jay Binkley would understand. But back in the 2015, 2016 days, I always get to the ballpark, 5 hours before the game starts. And during 2015 and that 2016 season, you'd sit up in the press box, and it would be about an hour before first pitch, and the cars would start getting backed up and the off-ramp, to get off for Kauffman Stadium. The game's still an hour away, and that exit ramp is, 10, 15, 20 cars deep. I remember sitting up in the press box with Binkley, and we'd look out there and already start making our predictions. Okay, we're getting 28,000 a night. There's going to be 30,000 in the building. Look at how backed up the off-ramp is. And then yesterday, I swear to you, it's the first time since 2017 I saw that. Now, sure, short of 27,000 last night, so... Okay, not a sellout. No, I understand that. But what that showed me is Kauffman Stadium is once again starting to become the place to be. Place to be seen, place to hang out, a good idea. Yeah, you know what? Let's make the trip out to Kauffman Stadium. Why not? Now we don't have to get the best seats, but I want to be in the building. When I look out an hour before first pitch and I'm seeing the off-ramp starting to get backed up and backed up and backed up. No, it doesn't always mean that you're going to get the crowds like we saw in 15 and 16, but what it says is this wasn't a last-minute thing. We've been looking forward to this so much so we're getting there early, we're tailgating, we're doing what we do in Kansas City as Kauffman Stadium once again appears to be the place to be. Let's go to Sean in Lawrence. Sean, you're on the postgame show. What's going on, buddy?
Hey there, Josh. Thanks for always having the cogent, sober, clear-eyed take on things. And, of course, it's easy to say that we believe in the guys that we have already when we're having success. But I'm going to believe it still when we go through our next losing streak. I was a little surprised that we gave up such a high prospect for this reliever, and I hope he pans out. Some guys haven't panned out. I don't know if maybe Carlos Hernandez and Will Klein have had a better strikeout to walk ratio recently. I like some guys that have control, command, obviously. Somebody like a Chris Bubich back there, assuming that the starters stay healthy, I think is a real plus. Yeah. And, it's like just adding him is really, I mean, we don't need to do any more and mortgage our future. And so I say all that to lead up to a name that I'm sure nobody in Kansas City wants to hear, but I got to ask. Jordan Lyles. I know he's been on away from personal matters. I don't pretend to ask what the private matter is or anything like that, but has there been any inkling, any hope whatsoever that he could be a Royal this year? Because as far as I know, he's still getting paid. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Sean. This from Annie Rogers of MLB.com. She tweeted out a few hours ago that she confirms what has been pointed out on the transaction log of MLB.com. Annie Rogers tweets out that the Royals did release Jordan Lyles. He had been on the inactive list, as you pointed out there, Sean, and he will now go through waivers. Now, if you want further context, Annie Rogers, she has it all. Check it out at Royals.com. But Lyles had 30 days once he reported. And then the Royals have to make a decision after those 30 days. Lyles has been around for like 15 years, so no, he doesn't have any options. You either put him on the roster or you release him. And the Royals released Jordan Lyles earlier today. Again, that from Annie Rogers, the great beat writer for MLB.com. Sean, appreciate the phone call. One thing I will say about the acquisition of Hunter Harvey? Because you mentioned you were somewhat surprised to see them give up what they gave up to acquire the hard-throwing righty. Six swings and misses in his inning of work today. He's hit 98. Boy, did that splitter look good, huh? Man, made Andrew Vaughn look silly in the eighth inning. I'm excited to see what Hunter Harvey's going to do moving forward. I know he gave up a run, sure. Gave up a couple of hard-hit balls as well. Tommy Pham ripped that thing into left center. Luis Robert ripped that thing into the opposite field. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, trying to impress your new teammates, trying to make a good first impression. Hunter Harvey wasn't brought here to clean up four-run leads. He was here to protect one-run leads. Nice debut. Happy that he got in there, and I'm excited to see what he does down the stretch. But my takeaway from that trade is, well, first of all, that pick number 39 that they put in the deal, I'm not worried about that. Because the only reason the Royals had pick number 39 is because of the market size, because of their low revenue. Major League Baseball gives it to small market, low revenue teams. Here's your competitive balance pick. I like the way that JJ and this organization handle those competitive balance picks, because they're the only ones that can be traded. So you're telling me the Royals can draft someone and cross their fingers and hope that he pans out in 3, 4, 5 years, or trade that pick and acquire someone that can help you right now in your playoff race. I like that. Now, as far as parting with Caden Wallace, a third baseman that was ranked by MLB.com as the second best prospect in the system, my takeaway from the fact that he's in this trade, the Royals don't believe that he's a third baseman of the future. They don't believe that he's a difference maker. How about this? They don't believe that he's a difference maker at the big league level. I mean, they better not. Because if you traded away a difference maker at third base, if you traded away 6 years of a difference maker at third base for a year and a half of a reliever, that is a colossal mistake. And this team, this front office, this organization, for the past few years, they haven't made many mistakes. Now, I wish nothing but the best for Caden Wallace. And I understand the quality track record that Mike Rizzo has in Washington, what he was able to procure from the San Diego Padres, and that Juan Soto deal has completely flipped that organization. So I'm not trying to denigrate what they're doing in Washington. I'm not saying that JJ pulled a fast one on him. But if Caden Wallace becomes a difference maker at the big league level, Hunter Harvey better be Wade Davis. Now, relievers are tough to project. They're quite volatile. Just because you're good 1 year doesn't mean you're going to be good the next. So while I love the extra year of control, and I believe that Hunter Harvey's going to be even better in Kansas City than he was in Washington. I do. I believe that. Just look at what this pitching department has done, what this front office has done, what this organization has done over the past few years. With Reagans, with MacArthur, with Schreiber, with Waka, with Marsh, with Singer, implementing new pitches, eliminating other pitches. I expect this pitching department to help Hunter Harvey take another step in his career, become even better moving forward. So I'm a fan of the deal. And the only way this deal comes back to bite the Royals is if Caden Wallace is a difference maker at the big league level and Hunter Harvey's just a good reliever. That's a lot of ifs and buts and maybes. I'm a fan of it. I there was a moment where I was like, wow, Caden Wallace. But then once it started to marinate, you know, this is a guy that's yet to be a difference maker at AA. I wish him nothing but the best. But I'll read the smoke signals being sent out from Kauffman Stadium, and the smoke signal to me says, this ain't our third baseman of the future. This ain't a big league consistent bat that we need to find a spot for. We can do without the aforementioned Caden Wallace. Sean, nice to hear from you. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Speaking of nice to hear from you, Big T, how you been, buddy?
Hey, man, good. Vern, how you been doing, buddy?
Great, great.
Hey, Vern, so before I get rolling, I must say I got to talk about the Cal Edwards call last night. That was a classic. And then, Vern, and speaking of a lot of stuff going on, our draft, man, you got to love that. I mean, I'm excited about our future. Jock Tani and that Shields kid and all them pitchers they drafted. And just like a draft and trades, only the future will tell. Vern, you hit on something that got me, kind of got my heart tonight. You talked about the Chicago White Sox and how that was us last year. And man, I got to throw a shout out to SNL, Steady Mickey Lopez. I take my hat off to that guy. He's going through it with that team now, man. I hope that guy comes out of it well. But Vern, let's talk about the game. And after the All-Star break, Waka, way to go, man. We're 2-0. The pitching, everybody, we're going to be in it to the end. My chest is pumping out. I feel giddy when I go to bed because of this pitching staff. I feel giddy to wake up in the morning because of this pitching staff, everybody. We're going to be there at the end. And like Dave said, I haven't given up on the division yet because we do play Cleveland. Anybody afraid of them? Hell no. Nobody's afraid of Cleveland. We'll take their number down anytime. And as long as we got games in our division and the trade deadline hadn't happened yet, and how a lot of things could happen, Vern. Don't give up on the division. I'll jump on what Dave said about that. And then how about the Singer throwing machine? I'm glad he bounced back from that start against the Red Sox. That was the key. I was looking for him tonight. Outstanding job, outstanding performance by him. We have a chance to bring out the broom. We got Arizona coming up and the Cubs. We could do some damage in this homestand. And speaking on why I'm talking about the homestand, because the Royals had the second best home record in the major leagues behind the Philadelphia Phillies. It wouldn't be something if it was the Royals and Phillies in the World Series. We could get some sweet revenge on that. Let's bring out the broom on the Sox tomorrow, and as always. Let's go Royals.
A quick corrections to Big T's phone call. The Royals have the second most wins at home in Major League Baseball. I believe Cleveland has the best record at home as far as winning percentage is concerned. I believe Cleveland and Philly have a better winning percentage at home than the Royals do. And then we're not calling Jack Caglione Jack Tani. Stop it. If they want to do that in the SEC, if they want to do that in Florida, liken the Royals' top pick to Shohei Ohtani, go for it. But calling him Jack Tani is just as stupid as calling him Babe Caglione. Don't compare anybody to Shohei Ohtani ever. Don't compare Babe Ruth to Shohei Ohtani. Don't compare anybody to Shohei Ohtani. Ever again, Big T, you know that. Drew in Overland Park, you're next up on the post-game show. Drew, what's happening, man?
How's it going?
All right, how are you?
Doing great. You know,
good.
Recently, it's just been so exciting to watch the Royals, man. You know, I've been hearing a lot more about my friends, you know, talking about, hey, let's go to a Royals game, let's get out to the K. You know, I just feel like something really special is going on in Kansas City right now. You know, especially with all the fans talking about the home record, I really do think these fans have a super, super positive impact on our players. You know, and it's just electric watching us right now because I really do think with the way we're playing right now and if our pitching can stay the same as it's been these last two games, I really do think we can make a deep run into the playoffs.
Agreed. No doubt. I mean, would you want to face Lugo, Reagans, Singer in a three-game series?
No, I certainly would not.
No, come on, man. Yeah, so you know what? You know, whether they win the division or they grab the final wild card spots, Reagans, yeah. Lugo, Brady Singer, Michael Wacha with Alec Marsh coming at your neck. Yeah, and Bobby Witt Jr. getting four ABs. Salvador Perez. You know Salvi's going to be re-energized if he has another opportunity at a ring. You know, Salvi was really good in April and May. Get Salvi to October, and I think you might see I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. You might see the greatest Salvador Perez we've ever seen if you give that guy another taste of October baseball.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No doubt. Appreciate the phone call, yeah. Drew. Yeah, thanks, man. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Speaking of Salvi, the captain's hitting .292 in the month of July. 11 RBI. In July, matches RBI total from all of June. Salvi tonight, one of two Royals with a multi-hit performance. Salvi went 2-for-3 with a walk, an RBI, and a run scored. Royals win 6-1. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. We'll get back to your phone calls and head inside that clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Jonathan Cannon's pitch to Salvi is lined into right center field. That's going to drop for a hit. That is going to score a run. So Perez picks up after the aborted attempt at a double steal. So Salvador Perez with RBI number 63. And as they did last night, the Royals score in the first inning.
Yeah, Denny, they would score 3 in the first inning. And that's all they would need for the entire game, because Brady Singer was sensational once again. He faces the minimum through the first 3 frames, needing just 32 pitches to go through the first 9 of the White Sox lineup, a White Sox team that, hey, does Andrew Bennett tend to even enjoy playing baseball anymore? Golly, man, what? I mean, best of luck. I mean, maybe he's dealing with something. I'm not following that awful ball club very closely. Maybe he's banged up, but boy, oh boy, he does not look like this is a dream come true to play in the big leagues. I'll tell you that. But yeah, first inning, Salvi RBI single, Massey RBI triple, Hunter Renfro RBI double, 3-0 Royals, and then Brady in the bottom of the first inning, or the bottom of the second inning, 1-2-3. Just complete and utter domination offensively, defensively, on the mound. Now, defensively, I mentioned to Michael Massey just how great of a play he made to open things up in the sixth. But Salvi in the first inning. Salvi behind the dish, a strike him out, throw him out to finish off Singer's first, and allowing the Royals to quickly come to the plate. Singer needed only 11 pitches in the first. Royals put 3 on the board in the bottom of the first and never looked back. Here's what Brady Singer had to say after the game on the field to the great Joel Goldberg, Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. We'll strike him out, throw him out. Like I said, Sal's incredible back there. Just followed his lead tonight. Followed what he wanted and stuck to the game plan. It was a fun night.
Really the only difficult inning it looked like was the fourth inning, and you end up with the bases loaded and then get the strikeout. Take us through the mindset there.
Yeah, you know, obviously trying to get through that without a run scoring there. And like I said, you know, trusting Salvi there, we had a good pitch to strike him out there and got out of it.
Matt Quatrero was saying before the game that that start in Boston was a little bit different. All-star break, a lot of guys had off, needed to get some more guys in, that you could have gone a little bit longer. But how did you kind of process that, having to wait a little bit and then come back after the break?
Yeah, no, it was a good break. You know, obviously got to relax and kind of reset there. And, you know, we were coming back here to Kauffman with all these, you know, incredible fans. So we're excited to get back here and start this second half off.
Well, it's been a great start. I'll ask you the question that I think we're talking about every single night. When you look up and the night, it's 3 more hits from Bobby Witt Jr. and everything else he does. What are you seeing?
Yeah, he has a phenom. So much fun to play with him and watch him every night. Something new happens every night, and you know, he's huge for the city and huge for this team.
Brady Singer now 6-6 on the season. His ERA is down to an even 3. 13th lowest ERA in all of Major League Baseball. Singer tonight spins his 8th quality starts, the Royals' 50th quality starts, and Singer with his major league most 13th time this season, he's made a start holding the opponent to 1 run or better. Yeah, you heard me right. For as much love as Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans deserve and have received, nobody in the sport has more starts holding the opponent to 1 run or fewer than the young man you just heard from. The guy that I see Rally Mantis loving on the text line, Brady Singer. Royals win 6-1. They take the series from the White Sox, and they look to finish off a sweep tomorrow. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. Yeah, you know,
tonight was a good night. You know, everybody contributed in, and I have a few questions here about the trading. So, first of all, how many more bullpen pieces do you think we need? And possibly, I know you said not go all in, but I want your opinion on this. I'll listen off air. What do you think about bringing back Brent Rooker as like a DH slash, I don't know what other position he would play, but what do you think about bringing him back? I'll listen off air.
Appreciate the phone call. How many more bullpen pieces do the Royals need? I don't know. I think as constructed, they're good enough to be middle of the road. Now, how many more bullpen pieces do you need for me to put my feet up and say this bullpen is set? Two. But I don't think you're going to acquire the type of arms needed to allow me to put my feet up. Right? Because one of them would need to be a bona fide closer, and the other would have to be a high strikeout rate, high leverage reliever. You're not bringing in those two type of arms. The trade deadline's less than 10 days away. I don't see that happening. As far as Brent Rooker, well, okay, so, I mean, he could play the corner outfield. So maybe he could platoon with MJ Melendez in left. I mean, he would take some at-bats, likely you'd take the DH ABs away from a guy like Freddie Fermin. But, Garrett, you know, I'm not going to say anything different. Yeah, I'm all for it. Bring him in. But I'm not getting into a bidding war for him. Because this team with Brent Rooker and this team without Brent Rooker, how are they different? Right. This team right now is in the mix. A half game back of the final wild card spot, 6 games back of the division. Bring in Brent Rooker. Then what? Does that guarantee you the division? Does that make you feel as if, okay, now we're clearly the best team in the division? Now we're clearly going to win a wild card spot? No, it doesn't for me. Bringing in Brent Rooker doesn't take this team to another tier, in my opinion. The only way I'm getting into a bidding war for anyone is if they are a tier shifter. Right, they take you from a team that's in the mix to a team that has a playoff spot in their back pocket. Brent Rooker isn't that guy, in my opinion. And if you believe that he is, let's say that he is. Let's say that the power numbers that we've seen over the past year plus in Oakland, that they would continue. That you can put him in the five spot. You know, you could... Bobby leads off. Vinny hits second, Salvi third, Massey fourth, and Brent Rooker in the five spot. Now, there's no doubt, yeah, you're more dangerous, but I still think you're in that second tier. You're still looking up at Baltimore, at Cleveland, at New York, vying for the title of fourth best team in the American League. Now, honestly, I can make a case right now that the Royals are the fourth best team in the American League. You don't even need Brent Rooker for me to make that case. It becomes easier to make it if you acquire a guy like Brent Rooker. But again, I'm just not desperate. I'm happy that I can sit here today on the 20th of June and make the case that the Royals are the fourth best team in the American League. And honestly, by this time next month, we might be preparing for a 7-game series against the Cleveland Guardians, 7 games in a 10-day stretch that alone could jump the Royals past Cleveland. You could leapfrog them and become the team to beat in the division. I don't see the need. Personally, Garrett, I don't see the need to get into a bidding war for the services of Brent Rooker. And I see Katie in North Carolina writing in on the text line. Agree to disagree, Vern. They still need another bat in the lineup to make a push. A cheap rental will do. Signed, Katie. Okay, well, no, then you don't disagree, or then you agree, Katie. If you're saying a cheap rental will do, well, then you're talking about a bench player. Then you're like Gary, who called up earlier, that is hoping and wishing for the second coming of Josh Willingham a la 2014. If that's what you want, well, yeah, JJ can find that. This organization, I think, will acquire that bat, that position player, if he's available, if he's needed. Yeah, a cheap rental. You don't have to get into a bidding war for a cheap rental. So, no, I think we agree, actually, Katie. I don't see a need to get into a bidding war for the type of impact bat that is a tier shifter. Now, to bring in someone that you confidently put in the same breath as Bobby Salvi. Maybe some of you feel that Brent Rooker is that type of player. Personally, I don't. I like him. He was a great dude. 913-586-7610. Quickly from the text line. From the 816, Vern, do you think Bobby Witt Jr. has a shot at Ichiro's single-season hit record? No, I don't. Bobby right now is on pace for 214 base hits. That wouldn't even be the Royals franchise record. I believe Willie Wilson had 220 base hits back in 1980. I might be off on the year, but Ichiro had 262 hits. No, Bobby's pacing to fall about 50 shy. Yeah, all right, 230. Thanks to Blake Schneiders. He says Willie Wilson had 230 hits in 1980. So, yeah, Bobby's pacing to fall about 15 shy of the franchise record, let alone the Major League Baseball record. Now, Bobby's a stud, man. Don't take this as a knock on the young man. Tonight, he picked up his Major League most 41st multi-hit game, his Major League most 13th three-hit game, and his Major League most 131st base hits. Well, actually, he picked up base hit number 129, 130, and 131. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Josh. What an idea. I know Hunter Harvey, he struggled, but he didn't make the pitches the way he did. And, you know, his first start as a Royal, you know, you want to do good. And that happens. And Bobby with a great night, Salvador with a great night. And I agree with you. I want this division. Remember 1985, Royals were down six games in September to Reggie Jackson and the Angels. And the Dodgers just pulled it out in 11 innings. Take care of yourself, Josh. Let's go for the sweep tomorrow with Lugo. Take care.
Man, that was a lot of info right there. I did not know that about 1985, Dan, and he is correct. The Dodgers just finished off the Red Sox in 11 innings, so the Royals are right now, as you look at the American League wildcard race, my friends, you're in it. You are in this thing. Knotted up with the Boston Red Sox for the final American League wildcard spot. I coming off a 106 loss season, year one of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract. Reagans and Lugo and Singer and Marsh and maybe Waka, they're all back next year. Salvi and Vinny and MJ and Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia, they're all back next year. Hunter Renfroe could return next year if he chooses to do so. You're in the playoffs if the season ended today. I don't see the need to part with anything that you prize. To stay in the playoffs? I just don't see the need. Let's go to Mike in Overland Park. Mike, you're next up on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, thanks so much for having me, man. Hey, hearing everything in regards to what people are saying, hey, we need to do this, need to do that. If we go out and get anything, it just needs to fit the mold of the just the personality of this team. Yeah. Say what you want about, you know, all the big things that we did in the offseason, Bobby getting paid, Bobby going ahead and working on his defensive skills, also spending money on the starting rotation. But I think what really makes this team special
is Salvador Perez. You got an active Hall of Famer, quite a resume, and he is just one of those dudes that just loves playing baseball. And when you have the captain with the, you know, Hall of Fame type resume out there every day, these young guys are able to go ahead and come in and play loose, not worry about their cup of coffee in the majors, add Bobby going ahead and getting paid, and it's just a comfortable type team just having fun out there playing. What more could you ask for?
Beautifully said. I'm just sitting here nodding along with you, Mike. I'm with you, man.
Great day to be a Royals fan. A lifelong fan, but it's all, you know, as far as coming from a 100-loss season last year and how do we go ahead and switch and do all these things, put in the combination of, again, Bobby getting paid and you have a MVP-type candidate going ahead and, you know, playing free as well as his defensive skills have really gone ahead and improved. Add the starting rotation in there and just the intangibles of Salvador Perez.
Right. And, Mike, to piggyback on that, appreciate the phone call. I think there's another point that you made that needs to be amplified, and that is a guy like Salvi. You know, Salvi's been a part of a lot of losing, and yet the joy, the energy, the work ethic, the commitment was unchanging, unyielding. Bobby Witt Jr. earned the respect of Salvi very quickly. Not that Salvi's some old fuddy-duddy, you know, well, you got skins on the wall, you ain't got any dirt in your cleat. You know, he's not like that. But Salvi loves this blank, right? He loves the work. Loves to compete. And he picked up on Bobby quick about Bobby's work ethic, Bobby's love of the game, Bobby's ability, obviously, Bobby's work ethic, and so on and so forth. So now when you have two guys like that, you know, when you're two best players, a MVP and a Hall of Famer, when they're your hardest worker, you know, that sets a standard. When your starting rotation's giving you a quality start more than 50% of the time, you know, that also sets a standard. And to your point, Mike, about guys stepping into this clubhouse for the first time, about guys stepping into a playoff race for the first time in their career, you can fake, you can project confidence even if it's not real. You know what I mean? Like, you can step to the box, you can take your infield practice before the game. You can do all of it with a certain swag, even if you're hitting 210. Right? Even if you're hitting below the Mendoza line, you can still walk around with your chest out like a winner. Well, because the record says you are a winner. But also, I'll just speak for myself. As a consistently skinny, you know, I'm 5'11", a 180, and I was never the biggest guy, not even close. I'm the smallest dude in my family. But if you roll with the big, strong fellas and ladies, right, you roll with the bruisers, all of a sudden my acid tongue could go to work back in the day. You know, back in the college days, the high school days, the amateur days, the being a goofball days. You know, when you have that type of muscle behind you, you can carry yourself like you're a little bit bigger. That's what Salvi, Bobby, and this rotation allow. Even if you're struggling at the dish, man, I'm not saying it's easy to do, but you can forget about yourself, look at the scoreboard, and say, what do I need to do right now to help the team?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Jonathan Cannon's pitch to Salvi is lined into right center field. That's going to drop for a hit. That is going to score a run. So Perez picks up after the aborted attempt at a double steal. So Salvador Perez with RBI number 63. And as they did last night, the Royals score in the first inning.
Yeah, Denny, they would score three in the first inning. And that's all they would need for the entire game, because Brady Singer was sensational once again. He faces the minimum through the first three frames, needing just 32 pitches to go through the first nine of the White Sox lineup, a White Sox team that, hey, does Andrew Benintendi even enjoy playing baseball anymore? Golly, man, what? I mean, best of luck. I mean, maybe he's dealing with something. I'm not following that awful ball club very closely. Maybe he's banged up, but boy, oh boy, he does not look like this is a dream come true to play in the big leagues. I'll tell you that. But yeah, first inning, Salvi RBI single, Massey RBI triple, Hunter Renfroe RBI double, 3-0 Royals, and then Brady in the bottom of the first inning, or the bottom of the second inning, 1-2-3. Just complete and utter domination offensively, defensively, on the mound. Now, defensively, I mentioned to Michael Massey just how great of a play he made to open things up in the sixth. But Salvi in the first inning. Salvi behind the dish, a strike him out, throw him out to finish off Singer's first and allowing the Royals to quickly come to the plate. Singer needed only 11 pitches in the first. Royals put three on the board in the bottom of the first and never looked back. Here's what Brady Singer had to say after the game on the field to the great Joel Goldberg, Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. Let's talk about throw him out. Like I said, Sal's incredible back there. Just followed his lead tonight. Followed what he wanted and stuck to the game plan. And it was a fun night.
Really the only difficult inning it looked like was the fourth inning, and you end up with the bases loaded and then get the strikeout. Take us through the mindset there.
Yeah, you know, obviously trying to get through that without a run scoring there. And like I said, you know, trusting Salvi there, we had a good pitch to strike him out there and got out of it.
Matt Quatraro was saying before the game that that start in Boston was a little bit different. All-star break, a lot of guys had off, needed to get some more guys in, that you could have gone a little bit longer. But how did you kind of process that, having to wait a little bit and then come back after the break?
Yeah, no, it was a good break. You know, obviously got to relax and kind of reset there. And, you know, we were coming back here to Kauffman with all these, you know, incredible fans. So we're excited to get back here and start this second half off.
Well, it's been a great start. I'll ask you the question that I think we're talking about every single night. When you look up, end of the night, it's three more hits from Bobby Witt Jr. and everything else he does. What are you seeing?
Yeah, he has a phenom. So much fun to play with him and watch him every night. Something new happens every night, and you know, he's huge for the city and huge for this team.
Brady Singer now 6-6 on the season. His ERA is down to an even 3. 13th lowest ERA in all of Major League Baseball. Singer tonight spins his 8th quality starts, the Royals' 50th quality starts, and Singer with his major league most 13th time this season, he's made a start holding the opponent to one run or better. Yeah, you heard me right. For as much love as Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans deserve and have received, nobody in the sport has more starts holding the opponent to one run or fewer than the young man you just heard from, the guy that I see Rally Mantis Lebanon on the text line, Brady Singer. Royals win 6-1. They take the series from the White Sox, and they look to finish off a sweep tomorrow. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. Yeah, you know, tonight was a good night. You know, everybody contributed in, and I have a few questions here about the trading. So, first of all, how many more bullpen pieces do you think we need? And possibly, I know you said not go all in, but I want your opinion on this. I'll listen off air. What do you think about bringing back Brent Rooker as like a DH slash, I don't know what other position he would play, but what do you think about bringing him back? I'll listen off air.
Appreciate the phone call. How many more bullpen pieces do the Royals need? I don't know. I think as constructed, they're good enough to be middle of the road. Now, how many more bullpen pieces do you need for me to put my feet up and say this bullpen is set? Two. But I don't think you're going to acquire the type of arms needed to allow me to put my feet up. Right? Because one of them would need to be a bona fide closer, and the other would have to be a high strikeout rate, high leverage reliever. You're not bringing in those two type of arms. The trade deadline's less than 10 days away. I don't see that happening. As far as Brent Rooker, well, okay, so, he could play the corner outfield. So maybe he could platoon with MJ Melendez in left. I mean, he would take some at-bats. Likely you'd take the DH ABs away from a guy like Freddie Fermin. But, Garrett, you know, I'm not going to say anything different. Yeah, I'm all for it. Bring him in. But I'm not getting into a bidding war for him. Because this team with Brent Rooker and this team without Brent Rooker, how are they different? Right. This team right now is in the mix. A half game back of the final wild card spot, 6 games back of the division. Bring in Brent Rooker. Then what? Does that guarantee you the division? Does that make you feel as if, okay, now we're clearly the best team in the division? Now we're clearly going to win a wild card spot? No, it doesn't for me. Bringing in Brent Rooker doesn't take this team to another tier, in my opinion. The only way I'm getting into a bidding war for anyone is if they are a tier shifter. Right, they take you from a team that's in the mix to a team that has a playoff spot in their back pocket. Brent Rooker isn't that guy, in my opinion. And if you believe that he is, let's say that he is. Let's say that the power numbers that we've seen over the past year plus in Oakland, that they would continue. That you can put him in the five spot. You know, you could... Bobby leads off. Vinny hits second, Salvi third, Massey fourth, and Brent Rooker in the five spot. Now, there's no doubt. Yeah, you're more dangerous, but I still think you're in that second tier. You're still looking up at Baltimore, at Cleveland, at New York, vying for the title of fourth best team in the American League. Now, honestly, I can make a case right now that the Royals are the fourth best team in the American League. You don't even need Brent Rooker for me to make that case. It becomes easier to make it if you acquire a guy like Brent Rooker. But again, I'm just not desperate. I'm happy that I can sit here today on the 20th of June and make the case that the Royals are the fourth best team in the American League. And honestly, by this time next month, we might be preparing for a 7-game series against the Cleveland Guardians, 7 games in a 10-day stretch that alone could jump the Royals pass Cleveland. You could leapfrog them and become the team to beat in the division. I don't see the need, personally, Garrett. I don't see the need to get into a bidding war for the services of Brent Rooker. And I see Katie in North Carolina writing in on the text line. Agree to disagree, Vern. They still need another bat in the lineup to make a push. A cheap rental will do. Signed, Katie. Okay, well, no, then you don't disagree, or then you agree, Katie. If you're saying a cheap rental will do, well, then you're talking about a bench player. Then you're like Gary, who called up earlier, that is hoping and wishing for the second coming of Josh Willingham a la 2014. If that's what you want, well, yeah, JJ can find that. This organization, I think, will acquire that bat, that position player, if he's available, if he's needed. Yeah, a cheap rental. You don't have to get into a bidding war for a cheap rental. So, no, I think we agree, actually, Katie. I don't see a need to get into a bidding war for the type of impact bat that is a tier shifter. Now, to bring in someone that you confidently put in the same breath as Bobby Salvi. Maybe some of you feel that Brent Rooker is that type of player. Personally, I don't. I like him. He was a great dude. 913-586-7610. Quickly from the text line. From the 816, Vern, do you think Bobby Witt Jr. has a shot at Ichiro's single-season hit record? No, I don't. Bobby right now is on pace for 214 base hits. That wouldn't even be the Royals franchise record. I believe Willie Wilson had 220 base hits back in 1980. Might be off on the year, but Ichiro had 262 hits. No, Bobby's pacing to fall about 50 shy. Yeah, all right, 230. Thanks to Blake Schneiders. He says Willie Wilson had 230 hits in 1980. So, yeah, Bobby's pacing to fall about 15 shy of the franchise record, let alone the Major League Baseball record. Now, Bobby's a stud, man. Don't take this as a knock on the young man. Tonight he picked up his Major League most 41st multi-hit game, his Major League most 13th three-hit game, and his Major League most 131st base hits. Well, actually, he picked up base hit number 129, 130, and 131. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Josh. What a night. Yeah, I know Hunter Harvey, he struggled, but he didn't make the pitches the way he did. And, you know, his first start as a Royal, you know, you wanted to do good, and that happens. And Bobby with a great night, Salvador with a great night. And I agree with you. I want this division. Remember 1985, Royals were down six games in September to Reggie Jackson and the Angels, and the Dodgers just pulled it out in 11 innings. Take care of yourself, Josh. Let's go for the sweep tomorrow with Lugo. Take care.
Man, that was a lot of info right there. I did not know that about 1985, Dan, and he is correct. The Dodgers just finished off the Red Sox in 11 innings, so the Royals are right now, as you look at the American League wildcard race, my friends, you're in it. You are in this thing. Knotted up with the Boston Red Sox for the final American League wildcard spot. I coming off a 106 loss season, year one of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract. Reagans and Lugo and Singer and Marsh and maybe Waka, they're all back next year. Salvi and Vinny and MJ and Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia, they're all back next year. Hunter Renfro could return next year if he chooses to do so. You're in the playoffs if the season ended today. I don't see the need to part with anything that you prize. To stay in the playoffs? I just don't see the need. Let's go to Mike in Overland Park. Mike, you're next up on the post-game show on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, thanks so much for having me, man. Hey,
hearing everything in regards to what people are saying, hey, we need to do this, need to do that. If we go out and get anything, it just needs to fit the mold of the just the personality of this team. Yeah. Say what you want about, you know, all the big things that we did in the offseason, Bobby getting paid, Bobby going ahead and working on his defensive skills, also spending money on the starting rotation. But I think what really makes this team special is Salvador Perez. You got an active Hall of Famer, quite a resume, and he is just one of those dudes that just loves playing baseball. And when you have the captain with a, you know, Hall of Fame type resume out there every day, these young guys are able to go ahead and come in and play loose, not worry about their cup of coffee in the majors, add Bobby going ahead and getting paid, and it's just a comfortable type team just having fun out there playing. No. What more could you ask for?
No. Beautifully said. I'm just sitting here nodding along with you, Mike. I'm with you, man.
Great day to be a Royals fan. A lifelong fan, but it's all, you know, as far as coming from a 100-loss season last year and how do we go ahead and switch and do all these things, put in the combination of, again, Bobby getting paid and you have a MVP-type candidate going ahead and, you know, playing free as well as his defensive skills have really gone ahead and improved. Add the starting rotation in there and just the intangibles of Salvador Perez.
Right. And Mike, to piggyback on that, appreciate the phone call. I think there's another point that you made that needs to be amplified, and that is a guy like Salvi. You know, Salvi's been a part of a lot of losing, and yet the joy, the energy, the work ethic, the commitment was unchanging, unyielding. Bobby Witt Jr. earned the respect of Salvi very quickly. Not that Salvi's some old fuddy-duddy, you know, well, you got skins on the wall, you ain't got any dirt in your cleat. No, he's not like that. But Salvi loves this blank, right? He loves the work. Loves to compete. And he picked up on Bobby quick about Bobby's work ethic, Bobby's love of the game, Bobby's ability, obviously, Bobby's work ethic, and so on and so forth. So now when you have two guys like that, you know, when you're two best players, a MVP and a Hall of Famer, when they're your hardest worker, you know, that sets a standard. When you're starting rotations, giving you a quality start more than 50% of the time, you know, that also sets a standard. And to your point, Mike, about guys stepping into this clubhouse for the first time, about guys stepping into a playoff race for the first time in their career, you can fake, you can project confidence even if it's not real. You know what I mean? Like, you can step to the box, you can take your infield practice before the game. You can do all of it with a certain swag, even if you're hitting 210. Right? Even if you're hitting below the Mendoza line, you can still walk around with your chest out like a winner. Well, because the record says you are a winner. But also, I'll just speak for myself. As a consistently skinny, you know, I'm 5'11", a 180, and I was never the biggest guy, not even close. I'm the smallest dude in my family. But if you roll with the big, strong fellas and ladies, right, you roll with the bruisers, all of a sudden my acid tongue could go to work back in the day. You know, back in the college days, the high school days, the amateur days, the being a goofball days. You know, when you have that type of muscle behind you, you can carry yourself like you're a little bit bigger. That's what Salvi, Bobby, and this rotation allow. Even if you're struggling at the dish, man, I'm not saying it's easy to do, but you can forget about yourself, look at the scoreboard, and say, what do I need to do right now to help the team win? Lay down a bunt, hit the ball the other way, hit behind the runner. Anything but strike out. What do I need to do? Because it's not about me. Because if I just play my role, man, I'm going to keep this swag. I'm going to keep my chest sticking out. I'm going to continue to be a winner, even though my numbers don't necessarily scream winner. So it's tough to quantify those intangibles that you attribute to Salvi, but I think Bobby in this rotation delivered just as much of a boost as Salvi does. That's what had me so excited this offseason when the team signed Lugo and Waka. It's what I screamed all last summer. The same things I was screaming at the end of 2012. Screaming, you can't allow Moose and Haas and Kane to become losers. Get them pitching. Give them a chance to be confident winners at the big league level. We were saying the same thing last year with Bobby, with MJ, with Vinny and Michael. You can't allow these guys to become losers because they are winners. They have the ability to win consistently. Get them the pitching that they need so they can stick that chest out even when things aren't going their way. Great phone call, Mike. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Tyler in Independence. Tyler, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Pretty good. I wanted to kind of weigh in on like us going out for free agents or trades. I think we should stand pat. We can't leverage our future for a good year.
Right. But you can improve like that final man in the bullpen or the final guy on the bench, you know? But I'm with you.
It looks to the future.
Okay, yeah. Listen, I'm not going to fight you. I'm with you. You know I'm saying the same thing. My point was more just going back to what the... Yeah, right. And when it doesn't appear as if this is it. Right, the whole thing doesn't end after this season.
Yeah. All right, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate it. No, we're saying the same thing, Tyler and I. Although I would be willing to bring in a rental for the final spot in the bullpen or the final spot on the bench. Because I don't think you have to get into a bidding war for something like that. I don't think you get into a bidding war for the Josh Willingham off the bench. I don't think you get into a bidding war for Scott Downs coming out of the bullpen. Now, those are the type of moves that I would green light. Let's head back out to Overland Park. Let's talk with Mitch. You're on the postgame show as the Royals win 6-1. Mitch, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the call, Vern. Normally, these past few times, I've had so many things to talk about because everybody's so excited. I'm going to try and streamline it down to like maybe two or three things. One of them is something I've heard you mention before is body language. And I've only been to one game this year. I went and saw us get pounded by New York, and the pitcher was Marcus Stroman. He dominated. Okay, so I watch body language and things like that. Of course, we got waxed, so it's a little different. But I wanted to say, from my point of view, watching certain guys come to the plate, and I'm not talking about Vinny Salvi or Bobby. I'm talking about Hunter Renfroe and Massey. When they come to the plate, they appear to me to be confident. I have confidence in them. And, tonight they delivered. The other thing I wanted to say, and I know you've talked about this, they are clearly, I know it's a cliche, they're a reflection of their coach.
Yeah.
I think Cotrero, of course, it took a little while to get to know him, and I've seen him get fired up a few times, which is good, but he's pretty even-keeled. Yep. He's bright. He's intelligent.
Yep.
He's passionate. But I think if our team is kind of a reflection of him, the last thing was about the Stroman incident. He shut us down, and then a week later on ESPN, he had a meltdown. I don't know if you saw that. Judge had to go console him. He was flipping out because they didn't make a double play. Did you happen to see that one?
I did. I also saw Justin Steele do it for the Cubs.
Okay, we don't have anybody on our team that acts that way. Our pitching staff, I mean, some of them do get fired up, but I couldn't
see any of our
pitchers.
They also have a really good defense, right? They got a lot better defense behind them, too,
For sure, but the demeanor of these guys,
right?
Reagans, Pasquantino, a lot of them, and Witt, they're young guys. but they just seem so level-headed. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, great job. You did a good job of streamlining it. Got to all the points. Great point about Q. Hunter Renfrow, yes, very confident. Man, if you eliminate the month of April, okay, I know you can't, but it's a pretty good sample size. All of May, all of June, and now all of July. Since the start of May, Hunter Renfrow's hitting .263 with an OPS near 800. So I'm with you on Renfrow. Again, great point about Matt Quatrero. And as far as, you know, Marcus Stroman's had a terrific career. He's been in the game for more than a decade. So, yeah, you know, Yordano Ventura was a guy that would let his emotions show. And at times his emotions would get the best of him. And I'm sure, you know, if we were lucky enough to still have Yordano with us, that he would have improved on that. But that emotion would have always been there. It would have always come out in good times and in bad times. You can only stifle that emotion, that energy, that passion, that fire so much. And there are guys on this team that allow their emotions to get the best of them. Michael, MJ, Marsh, we've seen it this season. But listen, you know, Michael's 24. Marsh is, what, 26, 25, 26. MJ's 25. That's what you do when you're that age. Appreciate the phone call, Mitch. Well, anything but a youngster on the hill tomorrow as Seth Lugo squares off with Drew Thorpe. It's a 1:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon. All right, let's go to Scott in Lewisburg. Scott, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Great show. Love to listen to you.
Thanks,
I just
man.
Got one word. The word's grateful. I'm so grateful for this season. As a fan of the Royals and the past years that we've had, front office has done such a good job. I really love the chemistry that the team has. It seems like they all gel. It's a lot like what it was back in 14, 15. It seems as if they truly have each other's back and are friends off the field, which just makes it a pleasure to watch. Yeah. And these guys are winners. You can just tell. They are winners. So it's good to see everything come together. That's all I got. Great.
And appreciate the phone call, Scott. It also looks like they're unafraid of the moment. I'm not saying tonight against the White Sox, but, you know, we've seen moments, countless moments, over the first 3 months of the season, and now over the final 63 games of the year, every single game's the biggest game of Michael and Bobby and Brady and Cole and, I mean, a majority of these guys. Every game from here on out's the biggest game of their career. I mentioned Michael Garcia picked up another knock tonight. Michael has 10 hits in his 10 starts here in the month of July. Thanks for the phone call, Scott. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, be honest, how many fat guys got tickets to the game tonight just to try that Taste of the K hot dog? Well, I don't know, but I do know that Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star, he wolfed that down in the press box tonight. I got a good chance to see that Taste of the K hot dog. I'll be honest with you, when I first saw it online, I said, get real. No thanks. You know how gross that probably looks in person? Sure, it looks nice on social media, but it's got to be disgusting. It actually looked nice. Like, real nice. I don't know if I'm getting it, but I would not. It's a thumbs up for me. If it was placed before me, I'd devour it. I don't know if I'm sure it's pretty expensive, and I'm very, very cheap. What else do we have? We have Andrew from Prairie Village writing in. Says, Big T got me fired up, Vern. We have the best rotation in the American League. I feel like this team is just different when Michael Massey's in there. And Hunter Renfrow has been worth every penny signed Andrew from Prairie Village. Yeah, I mean, I gave you those numbers regarding Renfro. It's wild. And eight, I mean, it's not wild. It's who he's been for most of his career. You know, when, understandably, when many of you were diving off the Hunter Renfro bandwagon throughout the month of April, and you were trying to fight me, you know, oh, Vern, how could you stick up for him? I never really stuck up for him. I just relied on his baseball reference page in the back of his baseball card and his track record. Because that's what matters in this game, you know? The thing that we all want to see from Drew Waters and MJ Melendez is consistency, year in and year out. Brady Singer, we want to see it year in and year out, consistency. I had no reason to believe that Hunter Renfro was going to turn it around other than the fact that for the previous six full seasons, this guy's running into 50 extra base hits, smashing 20 home runs. So I had to rely on those previous seasons, the consistency, the track record of Hunter Renfro. 785 is wondering about the rotation in the second half. Well, Waka started yesterday, Singer tonight, Lugo tomorrow. It'll be Cole Reagans in the opener coming up on Monday against Arizona. And then Alec Marsh in the second game against the D-backs on Tuesday night. So the rotation is now lined up really according to starting experience. Right, Waka has the most, Singer second most, then Lugo, then Reagans, then Marsh. I don't think that's why they did it, but maybe it is. Hey, thanks again to Blake Schneiders for the help back at the studio. Appreciate your hard work tonight. Royals win 6-1 thanks to Brady Singer's hard work tonight. Hey, I'm back at it tomorrow, 12 noon, for the On Deck Show with your chance to win Royals tickets. Make sure you're listening, Royals fans. I appreciate you listening tonight. Let's finish it off tomorrow. Enjoy your Saturday night. Thanks for listening. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking. Stay fair. And gone. Past Quintino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center. Way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.